no longer vibrating.
I just hope we haven't lost a tire or anything.
Ryan cautiously leaned forward in his seat, feeling a muscular pain across his ribs from being tossed around. And he opened the obslet in front of him. A whirling cloud of dust filtered in, and he closed it again. Now the stampede was over. Ryan could hear JB unlocking his safety belt, so he followed suit. He opened the obslet again and peered out, seeing that the turf had been churned and trampled by thousands of pounding hooves. The hatch was thrown back, and JB sucked in a great gulp of air.
Dark night. Surely due to Tess being locked away in a steel coffin like that. Doesn't do a damn thing for my claustrophobia.
JB wasn't joking. Though he often appeared to be a man without any weakness, the one thing that he couldn't handle was being closed away in a confined space.
Can't see any immediate damage.
Ryan climbed into the open, looking immediately to see the last limping stragglers of the huge buffalo herd picking their way past the wag.
Wish I could have watched that from a safe hillside. Must have been something to see.
JB had hopped down onto the ground, going around to check all the wheels.
Seems okay. Watch the stampede? Sure. I read old books that talked about the prairies in the early days of white men.
Ryan sat on the side of the LAV and kicked his feet against one of the tires.
Yeah, I read that too. Man could lie down on a bluff and watch the buffalo pass. Hundreds across and moving slowly on by from sunrise to dusk.
Used to be an old song. Show me a home where the buffalo roam, and I'll show you a house full of shit. Like it?
Not a lot.
Ryan jumped down, looking away toward where the herd had vanished into a broad valley, an almost biblical pillar of dust marking their progress. JB wiped smudges of dirt off his glasses.
The storm's coming closer.
Ryan had been so preoccupied with the stampede that he hadn't even bothered to look up at the sky to check the progress of the chem storm. The sky was blackening, with streaks of purple-pink-silver lightning lacing it.
Coming our way.
JB walked quickly around the wag, and Ryan followed him. Considering that the armor steel was designed to keep the occupant safe against the direct hit of an armor-piercing 7.62mm round, it was staggering how much damage the rampaging buffalo had done. Superficially, it looked as though the LAV had been dragged backward through hedges and fields, upside down into swamps and middens. There was mud, grass, and leaves covering the outside, with several dents and gouges. One of the wheels looked as if it had been knocked slightly off-center, and the barrel of the cannon was totally blocked with dirt.
Good job we don't have any ammo for that. Blow ourselves into the middle of the next century.
The distant thunder of the storm was nearer, sweeping in toward them over the Colorado Mountains.
It's gonna be a big one. Think we could find a better place to park this wreck and face the chem storm? A narrow spur like this could flood in no time.
Higher ground. How about straight ahead and up there? Seems like a trail.
Ryan looked, aware that the wind was suddenly starting to rise with startling speed, a sure sign that the approaching tempest was going to be triple bad.
Could be. Means heading right into the heart of the chem storm.
Can't outrun it anyway.
That's true. At least the rain will clean the wag up some. Let's go. I'm driving.
Think this is God trying to send us a message, Ryan?
How's that?
He's decided that he doesn't want us to go to this meet with Traitor.
The rain pounding on the outside of the LAV was deafening. The thunder from the heart of the chem storm, a constant, sullen threnody.
You mean that if he's all-powerful, then how come he doesn't come and tell us outright? A letter written in the dirt by some infinite and eternal moving finger?
Right. Dear Ryan and JB, don't go to meet Traitor. Lots of love and all good things, God. That kind of message. Why doesn't he do that?
Instead of double crazy women and lions and stampeding buffalo, and now the grandfather of all bastard chem storms?
They'd managed to get across the slender strip of open ground, where a flash flood would have done them some serious harm. Ryan peered through the obslet under the darkening sky, picking a path toward the trail that wound up the flank of the mountain ahead of them. Ryan checked the condition of the pavement ahead, seeing the marks of wheeled vehicles on it. There might be some kind of human habitation farther up the trail, but the weather washed out all thoughts of that. The storm so powerful, that Ryan had to close all of the vents and obslits on the WAG. Even with all the precautions, the air inside the LAV began to taste damp.
Acid.
Yeah.
There was the unmistakable taint of acid rain, a bitter nitrous flavor, unlike anything else in Deathlands. It was overlaid by the flat odor of ozone from the electricity that cracked and hissed outside. There was no serious threat to either of the men, as long as they stayed snug inside the Armawag. The large wheels with their rubber compound tires would keep them safely earthed. Even so, Ryan was aware of the short hairs on his arms and his nape, prickling with static.
Rad counter showing yellow.
Ryan glanced down at the tiny instrument in his lapel, seeing that the usual green glow had been replaced by a pale golden light, an indication that the acid water that was vomiting out of the heart of the vicious chemstorm had been contaminated from one of the Skydark rad spots. The thunder seemed a little fainter, the pounding of the rain slightly weaker.
Is it passing?
Guess so.
They both took the chance to get some fresh air. The last few leaden spots of rain were still dripping off the overhanging branches of the larches that lined the road on the right. To the left was the misty expanse of the valley, the trampled turf streaming with a river 2 feet deep.
I wonder if God has any more of his cryptic messages waiting for us.
In the aftermath of the chem storm, the temperature had dropped by 20 degrees, and Ryan's breath feathered out in front of him. JB was on the brink of the drop, looking down.
That was one bastard of a storm, Ryan. Reckon we were lucky to make it through the last couple of hours.
Trader used to say that a man who claimed to be lucky was one of two things.
Right. Said he was either triple stoop, or he really was lucky.
Once back inside, JB took over driving, while Ryan sat perched on the damp top of the big wag, locking his feet on the rungs of the steel ladder to hold himself steady. The Steyr SSG-70 rifle was within easy reach, in case the track seat spotted earlier turned into real trouble.
Yes, double low, Ryan.
How about the steering?
Why do you ask?
Seemed to me that the Buffalo might have affected the tracking of one of the pairs of wheels. Steering didn't seem quite on the line.
Trail's rough.
Ryan looked ahead of them. Decades of rain had gouged great furrows from the packed dirt, and the wag was shuddering from side to side.
True.
Wait till we get it on the flat.
I reckon there's probably a small ville up there, or the remains of one.
Could be. Gotta go someplace. Loads of old mining camps around here.
The dirt track wound back and forth, sometimes with trees pressing in on both sides. Muddy water streamed down, and in places there was barely enough room for the 7-foot width of the wag. JB had dropped down to one of the lowest gears, the engine laboring, struggling for adhesion on the sharp bends. The smoke from the exhaust seemed to be thicker, leaving gray coils behind them. Ryan was beginning to worry about the noise, audible to anyone within a dozen miles. They'd managed to make good time so far, but at least 3/4 of the trip remained. With reliable transport, it would be a matter of less than a week. On foot, they'd not even be close to the rendezvous within their 5-week schedule. They drove past the remains of a sign, leaning at a drunken angle over the edge of the drop. With the storms passing, the sun had peeked through the skein of high, thin clouds, illuminating the faded letters. Ryan read the sign through the driver's obslit. Steep grade. Take extra care. After one more rough section, the beat-up track began to level out, the bends becoming much less sharp, the trees starting to thin to scrubby brush. A shack, the walls weathered and split, appeared on the right. Ryan eased himself a little lower in the turret, leaving just his head and shoulders protruding. The Steyr was in the cabin, and he held the 6-hour cocked and ready. Now the engine of the wag sounded better, and the exhaust fumes were markedly less, but the gas was almost gone.
Looks like a ghost town. No sign of any life.
It was difficult to get hold of quality gasoline in Deathlands. Generally, it was only the barons of powerful vills that had their hands on reasonable quantities, and they weren't going to part with it that easily or cheaply. They always had sec men guarding their fuel dumps, so stealing was also a high-risk option. But the smaller vills and frontier pest holes rarely had more than minimal supplies of anything. The ghost town that they were entering looked like it was high on rotting, worm-eaten wood and tumbleweed, and very low on anything else. JB braked to a halt, allowing the engine to idle.
Reckon we should stop now. Looks like it might be a dead end farther up.